This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word SHOW to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word SHOW, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text SHOW to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
My fellow Americans, welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, across the fruited plain. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Text ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777 if you would like to follow the live stream, the podcast, get the show notes, whatever you need. You can find it there. Really, really delighted to have you with me. So we gotta talk about the difficult subject. I want to explain to you. Well, I want to use logic and reason. We don't use logic and reason enough around here, and I realize that it's you know, in this day and age, people are very emotional and make a lot of emotional arguments. And in making those emotional arguments, sometimes they miss some very thoughtful points. And I'm going to try now to make some very thoughtful points to you and for you about the issue of the Speaker of the House. Marjorie Taylor Greene has decided now to make her motion to oust him. I'm sorry, I'm sending an important note about this topic to someone. Okay. Now, Twitter's over capacity. There we go. Let's talk about this issue. I want to play for you, for example, Lauren Boebert. This is a clip of her talking to Manu Raju at CNN about ousting Speaker Johnson.
Support. So it makes no difference to me if it's Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker or Mike Johnson right now.
I don't think it makes him weaker. I mean, Mike's, you know, he's under siege in a lot of different areas, and I think he feels that
now. Are you comfortable with Democrats voting to keep Michael Johnson in the speakership?
No, I'm not.
Why?
Because Hakeem Jeffries should be the Speaker.
That's Jamal Bowman at the end. Lauren Boebert, though, saying that it doesn't matter to me whether it's Hakeem Jeffries or Mike Johnson in charge of the House. This is the Speaker of the House asked about this.
First, I've heard of it. Look, I have to do my job. We have to do what we believe to be the right thing. What the country needs right now is a functioning Congress. They need a Congress that works well, works together, and does not hamper its own ability to solve these problems. And so we saw what happened with the motion to vacate the last time. Congress was closed for 3 weeks. No one can afford for that to happen. And, you know, so we need people who are serious about the job here to continue to do that job and get it done. So, you know, I have to do what I believe is right every day and let the chips fall where they may.
You know, I suspect a lot of you take Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert's position that doesn't matter who's in charge, the Democrats are winning, so why bother? But that's an emotional reaction to you didn't like the Ukraine funding, or you wanted something with the border and you didn't get it. You don't always get your way. Let me just try to reasonably explain why you don't want this to succeed. The Republicans right now have a one-seat majority. You can say that the Democrats are winning, but you forgot about the discharge petition. You don't know what the discharge position is, do you? So the Senate Ukraine package was bigger than what ultimately got done, and it didn't have the ban on TikTok in it. And in the House of Representatives, if 218 members sign a discharge petition on legislation that's come over from the Senate or their own legislation, it goes to the floor of the House. And the votes were there for the Senate bailout of Ukraine. And so Mike Johnson forced his package through, which didn't spend as much and also banned TikTok. And he got his passed. So they didn't spend as much as otherwise would have been spent. You missed that side of the argument because nobody pointed that out to you, that there were votes for the discharge position and it was going to pass. They had 218 votes, and Mike Johnson, as Speaker, does not have the power to stop a discharge petition. So it would have happened. So, yeah, you didn't get what you wanted, but what Mike Johnson allowed was actually less than what would have happened had he not intervened. But wait, there's more. What's the thing you guys always complain about with the Democrats versus the Republicans? You always say the Democrats fall in line and get stuff done. And Republicans are like herding cats. It's impossible. They never get along. Well, this is part of the difference. Democrats value the collective. Republicans value the individual. So Republicans have the Freedom Caucus, and they have the Republican Study Committee, and they have the Main Street Coalition. They have varieties of groups of moderate, liberal, and conservative, and very conservative Republicans. The Democrats have progressive groups, and they have the problem solvers, moderate Democrats. But at the end of the day, they all come together to advance and get a couple of inches, where Republicans tend to only want miles. If they can't get a mile, screw it. We're not going to do anything. So the Democrats collectively are more competent and able to get stuff done in the House, typically because they recognize we can get 3 inches even though we wanted a mile, whereas Republicans, they want a mile, and when they can't get it, they say, well, screw it, we're doing nothing, and then they bicker and fight with each other. So the Democrats would be more effective if Hakeem Jeffries became Speaker, because they have something you've all missed. Marjorie Taylor Greene has forgotten about it. Lauren Boebert has forgotten about it. Matt Gaetz has forgotten about it. Reconciliation. Because of a divided Congress, Democrats haven't been able to use reconciliation this year. You put the Democrats in charge, you get reconciliation. Reconciliation bypasses the filibuster in the Senate. So the Democrats, the rule with reconciliation is twice a year, really once, but they've now finagled the rules to be able to do it twice. They can arrange a package in the Senate that cuts the deficit, is a financial spending package, and it only needs 50 votes because Kamala Harris is the tiebreaker. So if you oust Mike Johnson like Marjorie Taylor Greene wants, because you've decided there's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats in leadership, you're going to see real quick the difference, because that's how they got the Inflation Reduction Act passed. That was actually their climate change bill. They did it under reconciliation, so they didn't need Republican votes, and it bypassed the filibuster. And Mike Johnson hasn't let that happen. You may not like him. You may think he's collaborating with the Democrats. You may think he's no better than the Democrats. But you need to exercise the imagination to ask yourself, what could the Democrats do if they were in charge that Mike Johnson is not letting them do? Mike Johnson is the guy standing at the bridge, Horatius at the gate, saying, who will stand on either hand and hold this bridge with me? And right now, everybody around him is trying to knife him, and he's the guy there saying, hey, you may not like what's getting through the gates right now, but you wait and watch what happens when I'm not here, because the Democrats will take advantage of it. They're dying for a unified position that they can use. And you can say, well, Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin, they'll stop them in the Senate. Do you really want to take that chance? Do you not think the Democrats could offer one of them something to be their legacy legislation, so that when they leave the Senate, all of the media glorifies them and says they saved us from the GOP? Do you really want to take that chance? What's, I think, really interesting here is that Marjorie Taylor Greene bailed on the idea of ousting Johnson after funding Ukraine. She realized she couldn't get the votes. And the only thing Mike Johnson has done since then is put real points on the board for the GOP against anti-Semitism. He went to Columbia, was hurled invective by the left. He stood there and denounced anti-Semitism and denounced the campus protesters. And now Marjorie Taylor Greene wants to oust the guy? Is that a coincidence that he goes hard against anti-Semitism and Marjorie decides it's time to oust him? We live in a postmodern era where people put their emotion above reason. You're angry about what's happened in the House. All I'm asking you to do is you think you have emotionally, you're not even thinking, you feel like the Democrats are winning. All I'm asking you to do is to think, not feel, but think about what Democrats could do with a majority and reconciliation of the Senate that they can't do because Mike Johnson's there blocking them. You feel like Mike Johnson should have opposed funding Ukraine, but you didn't even think about the discharge petition that the Democrats could have used to fund, give Ukraine even more money. And you feel like he betrayed you, and you're not even looking at what happened with the discharge petition where the Democrats give Ukraine even more money. You haven't heard Marjorie Taylor Greene tell you, have you, or Matt Gaetz or Lauren Boebert, and it was coming down the pike. The signatures were there. This is all an emotional reaction to you're not getting what you want. And here's the problem. You never do. Because you're confusing strategy and tactics. Marjorie Taylor Greene is confusing strategy and tactics. Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't have a strategy to prevent the Democrats from becoming in charge because Marjorie Taylor Greene says she feels like they're already in charge because she didn't get her way. The Democrats are not in charge. The Republicans control the committees. The Republicans are in charge of the committees. You have a one-seat majority. Mike Johnson steps aside. Suddenly, the Democrats won. Why? Mike Gallagher, don't forget, Mike Gallagher is gone now. The congressman from Wisconsin left the House early. He did so a week ago. Meanwhile, there was a special election in New York where the Democrats won the special election. So that's a one-seat majority for the House Republicans right now. Emotionally, you want people to know Mike Johnson's not your guy. So let's let the Democrats save him. And then we can blow everything we get from here on out that we don't like, we can say it's the Democrats who did it. It's Mike Johnson, the Democrat, who did it. It's petulance. It's postmodern emotion at play because you're not willing to give Johnson the credit for stopping a lot of stuff you don't like because you don't have the emotional intelligence to see it and to recognize it, Marjorie. We're just playing here. This isn't serious stuff. The Democrats will protect Mike Johnson, and all of you guys can say, well, he's a Democrat speaker now. If he's a Democratic speaker, he'd cobble together a coalition to push through a left-wing agenda that would get passed through the Senate on reconciliation, and he's not going to do that. But because that's not going to happen, you can give yourselves your talking point, pat on the back, that, yeah, he's the Democrats' problem now. He's not our problem. Except he's saving you from a lot of stuff, and you don't want to give him credit because you're emotional children, Marjorie and Lauren and the rest of you doing this. You don't have the intellectual power to imagine how bad it would actually be. I know how bad it would actually be because I lived through the Democrats controlling Congress where they marched their way through just 2 years ago with an investment reduction or inflation reduction act that had nothing to do with inflation and got a massive climate change package done and had Joe Manchin go along with it to get some of his preferred initiatives. You think they can't find something Joe Manchin would throw in to support so that Joe Manchin can have a legacy in the Senate and get something passed on reconciliation? Why don't you guys do this? Let Hakeem Jeffries be speaker, and then you can complain again while I tell you I told you so. Except it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because a majority of the Republicans and a majority of the Democrats are going to save Mike Johnson because nobody wants the chaos. So y'all can bellyache about it while actually you're being saved. It's like the kid who wants to jump off the cliff and his parents don't let him, and he complains that the parents didn't let him jump off the cliff because what might have been. Well, we know what would have happened had he jumped off the cliff. He would have died. But he thinks it would have been grand and glorious. He could have flown. And parents, of course, aren't going to let him jump off the cliff and fall to his death. And so he's going to have the what if I did. I just might could have flown, mom and dad. Well, thank God they didn't save his life, even if they probably want to throw him off the cliff. Sometimes conservatives can be their own worst enemies on this stuff. You get rid of Mike Johnson, you open the door to real Democratic control. You can convince yourself there's no difference between what's happening now and what would be happening then, but you all really know, not feel, but know that's not true because the Democrats are so much better at herding cats than the Republicans. Your problem right now is we lost a lot of elections we could have won because we had crap candidates, so we don't have a big majority. And now you want to sacrifice the majority for a minority and give Democrats the ability to set an agenda they can't now set. That's insanity. It's irresponsible, and thank God it's going to lose. Greetings. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Very happy to have you on the program. Y'all, the grift in the environmentalist, my buddy Ryan just sent me this. This is hilarious. For $300, you can participate in a five-week seminar, an online five-week seminar with Jane Fonda about embracing our emergency. With embracing our emergency, we offer you the opportunity to join a new cadre of regenerative leaders. A new cadre of regenerative leaders? Jane Fonda is like Methuselah. Over 5 weeks, you will learn from legendary movement builders and courageous thinkers. You will reach a deeper understanding of the current state of the earth and the global climate justice movement. You will access the practical tools, resources, networks, and visionary ideas you need to make productive, positive changes right now in your life and community with special guest Jane Fonda and Michael Mann. $300 for a five-week online seminar on how to be a climate emergency nut. I wonder if they're going to talk to you about the best super gluing techniques to glue your butt to the asphalt. Good Lord, these people. Wow, but somebody's making good money off of this. Who are the nutters who are going to sign up? 5 weeks online. Who wants to sit through that? Answer, unemployed progressives living in their parents' basement. Goodness gracious, the stuff people put up with. Now, I got to tell you about Swiss America. And they really want to help you protect your hard-earned assets right now, particularly with all the bank troubles that are out there. What I find fascinating is the number of places I go into now where they don't take cash. Now, some of you think that's against the law, and it's not. It actually, they can make you use plastic. But what's happening here is a lot of banks are then looking at what you're buying, and they might deny the purchase. If you go to a gun store or something like that, they don't want you using cash. Of course, the government incentivizes this so they can develop your social credit score and whatnot. Swiss America wants to teach you how to protect your hard-earned assets now and get their copy of their free report, Secret War on Cash. It is free. All you do is mention my name, Eric Erickson, when you call or text 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. The all-out war on cash includes digital forms of currency. I'm telling you, the government and corporations collaborating together to control what you spend and what you spend. The Secret War on Cash report is free. Mention my name, Eric Erickson, when you call or text 800-289-2646. That's 800-289-2646. All you do, mention my name. It's completely for free. Eric Erickson, 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply. Talk to Swiss America. Get their Secret War on Cash report completely free. Greetings. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I got to play for you a piece of audio. It's about the protests, and I'm not talking more about the protests. I'm kind of tired of talking about the protests, but just bear with me here. There's a method to my madness. I want to play for you. This is Senator Tim Scott. He was on Fox News talking about the protests.
He's talking about America's future. He's talking about making sure that every single American gets to live their version of the American dream. He's talking about the fact that the liberal elite and the Democrats are coming after him because he's standing in the gap for everyday patriots. That there's no better contrast between Dearborn, Michigan, and the rest of the state where you see the patriot lovers coming out for Donald Trump. And then you have the oppressors, the Injustice League, standing in solidarity behind Joe Biden, and anti-Semites and sympathizers are rallying around Democrats.
I'm just going to be very honest with you. If I could pick Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate for him, it would be Tim Scott. Having Tim Scott debate Kamala Harris would be like having Albert Einstein debate the dumbest person on the planet. I guess having Albert Einstein debate Joe Biden. It would be a remarkable thing. And Tim Scott can articulate a vision of the country that is pro-America, and they have a real hard time attacking the descendant of slaves. They would, and it would drive them crazy. And frankly, I think the Democrats would overplay their hand. Donald Trump gave an interview to Time. I want to read for you part of this. You've spoken, this is Time's question. You've spoken a lot about wokeism on college campuses. Polls show a majority of your supporters have expressed the belief that anti-white racism now represents a greater problem in the country than anti-black racism. Do you agree? Trump's reply. Oh, I think there's a lot to be said about that. If you look at the Biden administration, they're sort of against anybody depending on certain views. They're against Catholics. They're against a lot of different people. They actually don't even know what they're against. They're just against a lot. But no, I think there's a definite anti-white feeling in this country, and that can't be allowed either. How would you address it as president, they ask. I don't think it would be a very tough thing to address, frankly, but I think the laws are very unfair now, and education is being very unfair. It's being stifled. I don't think it's going to be a big problem at all, but if you look right now, there's absolutely a bias against whites, and that's a problem. Now, Whoopi Goldberg on The View went nuts, as have others. She attacked him. How dare you? No one in your family's been hung. It's actually hanged, Whoopi, but that's okay. No one, including Donald Trump, is saying what's happening to white people is as bad as what happened to black people. I think when you have some idiots out there saying that Jews are now seeing what's happened to white people, not really. But, you know, Chris Rufo has done a very good job of exposing Fortune 500 companies that have taken the position that no men will be allowed to be hired in certain positions, no white men in particular allowed to be hired in positions. And as blue-collar Hispanic voters integrate further into this country, they identify more as white and they feel the stigma, they feel the anxiety. And people are outraged by what Donald Trump said, except, you know, blue-collar voters are not. It's a privileged elite who are really, really worked up about it, almost singularly, with the exception of some like Whoopi Goldberg, privileged white elite people are upset. How dare you say that there's anti-white racism by a group of people who run a bunch of companies that do not want to hire white men? You know, it's funny that this comes out just as an aside. I subscribe to some business publications. And I'm not going to give the name because this isn't intended to shame the business publication. But there are business publications out there I subscribe to, get news from, and they always have these sections about people on the move. And it's who companies wish to pay to get a placement in the business publication. So this is just... This is it. So let me just run through the list. There's a white dude, black woman, black man, white man, white man, white woman, white man, white woman, white woman. Next page, white woman, white man, white woman, white man, white man, white man, white woman, black man, Asian man, white man, white woman, white woman, white woman, black woman, black woman, Asian woman, white woman, white woman, white woman, white woman. Next page, white woman, black woman, black woman, black woman, white woman, Asian woman, black man, Asian man, white man. There's another white man. These are who the companies wish to pay to put the spotlight on it, and how often it is the number of women who the companies want to highlight. They don't want to highlight them, and they don't want people to know that the white men work there. This isn't about white and black or really what Donald Trump said, though. It's about the reaction to it, and it's been an unhinged reaction from the left. Think about Tim Scott when he went on The View. He was willing to go on The View. Had Sonny Huston there, racist that she is, nearly crying in his defense of the American dream and how actually black people have progressed in this country. I mean, you got these people, that this privileged black woman who's very wealthy in New York claiming that black people haven't actually advanced in this country. It's absurd. The real reason I really like Tim Scott is he's not afraid to take on these issues, but also do so with a smile on his face. It's a good contrast. It makes sense that somebody like Scott would be a VP for Trump. He's a profoundly good Christian man with a great, great sense of humor, a great love of country, and he understands the sins of this country and also grace. But the larger issue here is that Donald Trump is tied up in court. Donald Trump, in court every day, the judge forcing him to be there. And every day they're dragging Donald Trump through the mud. And what's so interesting to me is when you follow along with the logic of the case and the legal positioning of the case, so much of what is being allowed in for the prosecution by the judge has nothing to do with the case. They're trying to show a pattern and practice of Donald Trump using the National Enquirer and others to either pay for women's silence or to smear Donald Trump's supporters. That really has nothing to do with the underlying issue of the case, which is, did Donald Trump violate a federal campaign finance law that can then be prosecuted at the state level? It has nothing to do with that. But the media wants the salacious allegation against Donald Trump. And what's happened? What's happened in the process is 57% of Americans, according to Harvard Harris, now believe Donald Trump is the victim of lawfare. That's what's happened in the case. That's what's happened in the case, is people are suddenly sympathetic to Donald Trump. He looks like a victim. His polling has gone up because the Democrats have decided they can't beat him at the ballot box, so they might as well try to put him in jail. That's what's going on. That is the merits of this case. I continue to believe that the classified documents case has merit. This Alvin Bragg case does not have any merit whatsoever to it. It never has had merit to it. It's only designed to drag out salacious allegations. And here's the thing the Democrats totally seem to forget. We have video of Donald Trump. We have video. It's not audio. It's not AI. It's Donald Trump. He admitted it. He acknowledged it. Donald Trump on video with Billy Bush saying how he could grab a woman by her you know what. And he still got elected. Somehow the Democrats have convinced themselves that despite that, if they just rub it in your nose more, you're going to hate him. That's not a strategy to actually prosecute Donald Trump. It's not a strategy to actually destroy Donald Trump. It's a strategy to try to embarrass Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is a man with no shame, whether you want to admit it or not. He doesn't really have a lot of shame. He doesn't care. What he cares about is he's stuck in this courtroom having to pay lawyers to deal with the stuff that everybody already knows by and large. And it's no longer getting the coverage from the media that everyone was expecting. They're not allowing cameras in the courtroom. The first week or so, the first couple of weeks, there was the live TV court appearances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it keeps Donald Trump off the stage. The gag order and now the punishment related to his violation of the gag order, $9,000 for 9 violations. It shushes Donald Trump. And meanwhile, Joe Biden is on stage. And every time Joe Biden gets on stage, Joe Biden sticks his foot in his mouth. Joe Biden says something stupid. Joe Biden cannot even denounce the anti-Semitism on these college campuses without saying something stupid, like, I also denounce the people who don't understand what's going on in the Palestinian territory. The trial has turned up to help Donald Trump. Not only that, I mean, the big premise of the case is Michael Cohen is going to be the star witness against Donald Trump. Michael Cohen's not a credible witness against Donald Trump. And if one person, see, here's the other thing. None of the other trials are going to trial this year. This is the trial this year. And this is why there's so much fury. This is why there's so much rage. This is why there's so much anger by the left, because one person on this jury could cause it to be a hung jury, and it's going to get thrown out. And the Fawny Willis case isn't coming to trial this year. The classified documents case isn't coming to trial this year. The Jack Smith case in D.C. isn't coming to trial this year. None of those cases. Those are the big ones. Those are the more credible ones. The only one that's coming to trial this year is the least credible trial. And the Democrats had this all worked out. They weren't going to have to face Donald Trump in the polls. They were going to face him in court. He was going to go to jail, and the Republicans would be out of a nominee. He'd be buried under the jail, and the Democrats could get away with it. It's not working out. The Democrats put Wile E. Coyote in charge of planning campaign 2024, and all he's managed to do is get the Acme 10,000-ton weight to fall on him from a cliff somehow. But all of this is why Donald Trump should have a guy like Tim Scott out there now as his VP nominee, because Donald Trump is stuck in court for these weeks. And he should have someone on the campaign trail. And having the happy warrior who can poke fun at the left and actually love America is a great countervisual to these anti-American Democratic protesters and these anti-American Democratic politicians like Jamal Bowman, who are siding with the terrorists in Israel. Having someone out there right now like a Tim Scott would be good. And so it's good that Tim Scott's getting out there right now. I just think he's a better visual. He's better on TV than Doug Burgum. I think Kristi Noem 20 years ago, in addition to killing a goat and a dog, killed off her political career without even knowing it. If Donald Trump were to pick someone from Florida, a Rubio or a Ron DeSantis, which I don't think would happen, one of them would have to move their voter registration out of Florida. Donald Trump would have to consider moving out of Florida because the Constitution prohibits two people from the same state being on a ticket together. Scott makes sense. Scott makes a lot of sense. I don't know that it'll be him. I think he'd be great. I think Scott would be great. But what I do think is that the Democrats, they were convinced that they got Trump. And the Alvin Bragg case, even they know it doesn't have merit. And now they're starting to realize none of the other cases are coming to trial. And that's making them become even more unhinged. It's making them become even angrier. And it's making them play to Donald Trump's trap. None of them had to respond to Donald Trump's Time Magazine interview. Nobody really pays attention to Time anymore. Donald Trump gave him a very long interview. They could have ignored it. They could have ignored it. They chose not to ignore it. And in doing so, they took Donald Trump's bait, all while thinking they had walked him into a trap. They forget Donald Trump is the political equivalent of Brer Rabbit. And they're the suckers who just got played by him. All right, we got to move on to other things. However, before I get out of here, I got to tell you about Americans for Prosperity. They're doing a bus tour for Americans for Prosperity. And as a matter of fact, Americans for Prosperity, they're doing a Prosperity tour. Prosperity is possible. Prosperityispossible.com. Here's the thing. You know, so they bought the Binomics website. It's funny. There's a story in USA Today yesterday that the Democrats have decided to abandon Binomics as a selling point. Now, why? In large part because Americans for Prosperity bought that website to educate you on what the fallout of Binomics is. But also, it's just not working for them. But Americans for Prosperity now wants you to remember that there are ideas, limited government and free market principles, that actually can get the economy going again and get you back to work. and improve your way of life. People have forgotten. Even people on the right now, they want to try essentially progressivism as done by the right. That's not going to work. We know the tried and true works. And so Americans for Prosperity, they're doing a bus tour around the country reminding people that we know how to get spending under control. We know how to bring down energy prices. We know how to stop governments from forcing workers into unions. We know how to get our economy back. You can go to prosperityispossible.com today, prosperityispossible.com. You can sign up, find out where Americans for Prosperity is going to be in your neighborhood. Take yourself, take your kids, and just remember, we know the tried and true. We know what works. And because we know what works, we know what's tried and true, we know how to revitalize the economy. If the GOP takes back Congress, takes back the White House, Americans for Prosperity has those ideas. They're caretakers to good ideas. Prosperityispossible.com. Go check it out. Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425, should you wish to be on the program. You know, Gallup says there's one issue that has dominated the polling. A single issue for three straight months has been the biggest issue in Gallup's polling. Any idea? A steady 27% of Americans say the most important problem facing the United States is immigration. Topping Gallup's open-ended trend for the third consecutive month, the longest stretch for this particular issue in 24 years. The latest results, based on the Gallup survey, as elevated numbers of migrants continue to seek entry at the U.S. southern border, immigration tied with the government as the top issue in December 2023, with the number of migrant encounters at the southern border setting a record. In February, as a bipartisan measure to address the measure failed in the Senate, immigration overtook the government as the nation's biggest problem. Immigration has topped Gallup's most important problems list four times since 2000, including at several points in 2014, 2018, and 2019. However, 2024 is the first time immigration has remained the top issue for multiple successive months. So what are the big ones? Well, immigration is a massive one. And then the economy and the government, a lot out there.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.